Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. Each week we break down the most recent episode of our favorite reality competition show, Top Chef. And we are glad that you are here to join us for episode number 10. What was the episode called? Like Mama Made It?
Yep.
I think is what it was called. Anyway, thanks for joining us for that. Let's start out. So let me introduce you to your panel. As we introduce ourselves today, here's what I would like you to say. This should have been obvious. My guess is you've already thought of this, but I would like you to say the food you crave when you go home. And you noticed on the episode that there were two different modes. There was when I was a kid, and there's also now that I'm an adult and I go home and cook for my family. Both of those are options. So right now, you guys, be thinking about what you would crave when you go home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think you have something already?
Yes.
Excellent. Yep. Well, let me introduce everybody. I'm Alex Falcone. I'm in Portland here with Megan. And if I was going home to my childhood home, I think I would crave potato cheese soup, which my dad always made, which was mostly cheese and was awesome.
All the best are.
And cheese soup. There was a lot of people, there's a lot of consistency with kids going home craving things, it being cheese based. Mac and cheese, also popular. Although, if I was on the road now and I came home to my current adulthood home, I would crave spaghetti with fried tofu because it's very easy. So we make it every single week. And then when I'm on the road, I don't get it. So those are my home feelings. What about you, Megan? What do you crave when you go home?
Well, my mom hasn't really made this for me for probably like 20 years. But
okay.
When I was little, she used to always make this Hungarian goulash, and it had like these delicious like buttery egg noodles and then this like ground beef, green bean, really deliciously spiced topping thing, and it had stewed tomatoes in it too, and I just put those on the side because I didn't like them, but but that is something that really reminds me of my childhood, and also mac and cheese from the box, which is the most perfect food ever.
I like that because that sounds so much more mature than my answer. Hungarian goulash is so much more impressive than cheese soup.
Well, it's just like Hungarian cheese soup. Yeah, you know, it's the equivalent.
Oh, I guess that's true.
There's not enough cheese in that goulash.
Yeah. Delicious buttery noodles, though.
Also joining us today in San Francisco, California, we have Ezra Fox and Sarah. What do you guys crave when you go home?
So, again, this is like hasn't happened for a long time, but I think chicken parmesan probably was like one of like my all-time... like
on that.
Yeah, so like it's great. It's just like chicken with no bones, because bones are the worst. Mm-hmm. And then you just have cheese, and then also the chicken happens to both be like baked and fried.
Yep.
So like it felt like the perfect thing. Like it was like one of the few things I just like go for like thirds of, which was not like that was not a number I usually got up to in my urds.
In your what now?
Urds.
He had first urds, and then he had second urds, but he never had thirds.
Yeah, very, very, very unlikely.
For me, when I go home to my parents' house now, I always crave fresh garden tomatoes, because my mom's kind of famous for her garden tomatoes, and they're really good.
I did
in particular circles.
I did remember reading a HuffPo piece a couple weeks ago about most famous garden tomatoes in your mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was under an article about side boob.
most famous side boobs.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find her in the New York Times.
Yeah, all over the place.
BuzzFeed.
Yeah. Gawker.
BuzzFeed.
Upworthy.
Is just a series of pictures of her tomatoes.
Yeah, just like these 10 gifts of Sarah's mom's tomatoes will make your day.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
There was also there's a Slate article about your mom's tomatoes that's like, you're doing tomatoes wrong.
Or Jezebel. It's like, only a woman could make tomatoes this good.
I like
common
this
assumptions
so much
about feminist tomatoes.
Yeah. TechCrunch gossiping about the next tomato startup.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much anything my mom makes. She's a wonderful cook. And then going home, here home.
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know. Well, right now I'm craving mashed potatoes with pickle juice on them, but don't listen to that.
That's gross and very specific. Chris Smith and Tanya in Brooklyn, New York. What do you guys crave?
Oh, am I going first?
Yeah.
I think I would say something that I really associate with going home, like Seattle style home, is my mom makes this dish called pork chops with creamy mustard sauce. And it's like exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah,
okay.
But the creamy mustard sauce has like
accurate advertising.
Tom very would love it. Super accurate. And if it were anything else, I would Tom Colicchio style like flip a store map.
It's just a pie.
Yeah.
It's apple pie.
It's apple pie. Just name it. Call it what it is. The cool thing about it is the creamy mustard sauce has like tiny like chopped up carrots and onion, and it's something that I always love and I never make for myself here. So mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be top of the list. And then in Brooklyn home, which is barely home. But I mean, we've lived here 3 months, everyone.
I crave the feeling of a box that's still got my stuff in it.
Yeah. Actually, we don't have any more of those.
Yeah.
Boom! Moving in points. Anyway. I really like making lasagna.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because it's the only thing my name rhymes with.
Lasagna.
Yeah, good point, Tazania.
But yeah, so I love making lasagna. That always makes me feel like I'm not only am I home, but I'm like settled into a groove enough where like I can go to the store and get all the like the stuff we don't usually stock to make it. So that makes me feel like, yeah, home.
Noodles, cheese.
Sauce, noodles, cheese, cheese. That is the way you construct lasagna.
Yeah.
Don't call it lasagna. Anyway.
Also classically cheese-based. I like that. Chris?
Yeah, lots of cheese.
Continuing on a theme, mine's cheese-based. So when I go home, one of the dishes that we had a lot growing up was kind of a casserole, like not quite cheesy enough to be called a hot dish, but my mom called it Alaska chicken because she learned the recipe up in Alaska. It's chicken and rice and broccoli and cheese and, you know, some other stuff, but it always tastes good. And
my favorite is baked Alaska chicken where it's on fire.
It's in like an iceberg of like marshmallow fluff that you just like or
oh no, watch out. Most of the marshmallow is below the surface.
I was just trying to work on marshmallow fluff below the surface and I couldn't get it out of my brain.
Below the surface of what?
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, so we're talking about that because that was a big, big theme on today's show. But before we get into that, we got to talk about the quick fire. So we had another double episode today where they actually included the quick fire. I normally wouldn't have to mention that. It's just weird that they've lost the quick fire so many times. So it's good to have it. Ezra, why don't you talk to us about the quick fire challenge today?
Sure thing. So it was corporate sponsorship, Dunkin' Donuts, specifically their coffee branch.
Uh-huh.
And you had to use the coffee in a dish. You had 30 minutes and $10,000 and immunity for the winner. We got Hubert Keller from Fleur de Lis, from Top Chef Masters. Pretty great guy, pretty great ponytail. I mean, there's really a lot to love with
pretty great
Hubert.
Accent.
Yeah, there's nothing to hate.
There's nothing bad about Hubert Keller.
Did you guys
and he was... Oh, sorry.
You want to say
Megan, go ahead.
Oh, he was also the first ever quickfire judge, right? I think on the very first episode of Top Chef,
what a distinction.
He was the quickfire judge, I'm pretty sure.
Because it was in his restaurant.
Yeah, and someone tasted the sauce, and he got really
with
mad at
finger.
Them.
And that was like a big hygiene
not sanitary.
Problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Hubert Keller, champion of sanitation, just generally, just health codes. He's like way up there.
He's all about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Also building codes, he's really into making sure studs are at least...
Any codes, the Da Vinci code, he's great with it. Reddit.
Although on Top Chef Masters, he did fill up his pot for boiling spaghetti in the shower.
Yeah,
it's a dorm room challenge.
No, he put cold water from the shower on the pasta after he cooked it.
Oh, he rinsed it. Yeah, he rinsed it.
But he's all about codes except for, he was wearing sandals in the shower, so I guess that was the code.
Yeah. College. He lives by his own code is the important thing.
Hammurabi's code is really into eye for an eye. That's a big thing for him.
Wow. That's from way back.
Good get.
Wow.
That's like fifth grade right there.
Yeah. All right. So we had... We had coffee challenge. What do you guys think of the coffee quickfire? How do you think
Can everyone chime in about their like experiences with Dunkin' Donuts coffee? Because I think I've had absolutely none.
Okay, so
what?
You lied, Tanya.
What?
lasagna.
Oh, that's true. I did lie. I've had it once, and it was so early in the morning as to completely obliterate whether or not it was any good.
Did you like miss the mouth hole and just like pour it off to the side? You're like just.
I can't trust anything you say anymore.
It was like trying to stay alive in the airport moment where.
Now that you've lied to me, I don't even know if you're. Is your name really Tanya Lasagna? I can't even.
If that is your real name.
Why won't anyone believe me?
Well, Dunkin' Donuts is not a big West Coast chain.
No.
I know a little bit about the coffee.
Isn't it darn good?
I mean, so I never had it, but yeah, I thought it was surprisingly good for like coffee that you could buy from places.
It's sweet. It's too sweet.
Oh, is it
okay.
Sweet?
Mm. Yeah. Before people really knew what they wanted from coffee, I think it was a pretty good coffee.
Right, like, right.
In the pre-Starbucks days?
Yeah, yeah. But it's definitely, we're all West Coasties, and that just it's not the area for the donut chains. That's
they sell it because I sometimes see people with like iced coffees and big Dunkin' Donut containers, and I think maybe they get it from 7-Eleven or something. Mm,
yeah,
maybe.
Oh, I think that's
that's a good sign
for
a coffee.
I mean, I've seen bags of like of the grounds show up at my office at some point, and people go through it, so it's definitely drinkable or throwawayable. I don't know. I guess I don't see what they do with it.
Great for art projects for their kids. Well, so what do you guys think about the sponsorship for this one? I thought this seemed like a pretty straightforward Dunkin' Donuts sponsorship. Here is a product. Yep. Please cook with it.
I don't hate it as much as the cream cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think for a quick fire, coffee is actually, I think, a really interesting ingredient. People can go a lot of ways, like a coffee rub or a dessert or, you know, a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that it's high stakes, but they get $10,000 if they win, which is amazing. So the chefs, but they only had, 30 minutes for the challenge?
Yeah.
Like,
I thought they had... Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was not long.
No.
And I thought it... People did some interesting things.
Nobody thought what my idea, which would have been just, like, bacon and eggs and a cup of coffee. No one thought of that.
Nope.
My dish is called
CJ,
breakfast.
Why wouldn't you have a perfectly good cup of coffee? Yeah.
Put a pickle on it. Or wouldn't you put some bacon and eggs near it?
Just, like, chocolate-covered coffee beans. Like, yeah.
Oh, that would have been nice. Did you guys feel like, I guess what was the difference between this and the cream cheese one then? Because this seems like basically exactly the same challenge.
It's just integrating it into the quick fire instead of the main elimination challenge, which just feels way
And the other one was just especially offensive because it was farm to table and all these really fresh things and then Philadelphia cream cheese.
Yeah, this was this challenge today was Brazil to table with a lot of steps along the way.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I didn't have any qualms with it. I just thought it was a little bit underwhelming, I guess. I don't know.
I do like one screw you over twist, and we didn't get that from the quick fire.
Yeah, it was surprisingly straightforward.
Once again got Stephanie questioning her decision making to a hilarious extent. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Like, thinking that she bombed and then doing really well.
Yeah, she has it's so great. She's like, no matter what she does, she like has like massive self doubt about her entire life. It's endearing for some reason.
It's so fun. She's the funny one for now. We had a couple of other classic. I mean, it seems like a fairly nothing quickfire for the most part, but there were a couple of classics. There was Brian trying to break the risotto curse that doesn't exist.
Yep.
I think it is a real thing. I think the editing did a really poor job of proving it.
Well, they
really do think it's a thing.
They did it again. This is not the first time they've done it, and they still only have the two clips of the risotto curse, and one of them is the guy saying there's a risotto curse. It just seems like they're really trying to make this.
Well, that's because they couldn't show it when like it killed CJ's family when he was 12. Like, he was like, risotto!
Yeah, that's a totally... I mean, that's his own fault for opening the risotto's tomb. That's why it's going to happen.
Oh, siege. Big siege. Always
we also... Go ahead, Chris.
Just to continue on that, Brian, he said, I've had two quickfire wins in a row. I think I'm bigger than this curse now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So hubris.
Hubris. The curse of the hubris.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's P.S. I think coffee risotto sounds terrible.
Yeah, that's gnarly.
That's weird.
Yeah, and the judges' comments were, doesn't have enough coffee flavor, which sounds like a great compliment to risotto.
Dodge a bullet there.
Interesting that him and Nick were the bottoms, and Nick made the previously repeated sin of putting white chocolate on fish.
Disgusting.
Which Jason did in Last Chance Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he didn't know about that. Yeah. Nicholas didn't know about that, so that's just
he didn't, but it's interesting that kind of...
But I think by Tom's
still a mistake.
Law, Yeah. According to Grandmaster Tom, you should just know better. Yeah. No, but should just know better than that.
That dish in general, I mean, if you listen to the ingredients, salmon with hazelnut, coffee, and caramel, those flavors just do not sound good together.
No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Although
salmon a la International Delights.
Yeah, I think you should know better than putting white chocolate on something. I think that's your real issue.
See, what if the twist had been that they, like, 15 minutes before the end, they introduced, like, a series of non-dairy creamers, and they all had to use those, too.
That's hilarious.
That would have been excellent.
And then, like, plate using stir sticks? Oh, man.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Only stir sticks.
Oh, that would be a way better challenge. You should be in the challenge room, because that's great. Oh, God. They also, funny with Nicholas's, although the ingredients sounded terrible, he was mostly busted for just having unpleasant texture, which...
Yeah.
Which is fascinating. Like, this tastes great, but it's just weird texture.
But I think that's a pitfall with coffee. Like, those grounds, man, they get you.
Well, one other thing that I thought we should mention before we move on to the Illumination Challenge is I thought Carrie had a really interesting Top Chef moment where she decided that, like, she ran out of time and decided to repurpose crepe dough and just call it custard because she didn't have time to make them into crepes. And almost
I thought it was the filling.
No, it was going to be the filling for the crepes, and then she.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the filling
for crepes.
Yeah.
The filling equals custard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's amazing is there's probably zero instances thus far of someone completely repurposing. There's almost never are they able to successfully repurpose a dish so well. And she was.
Yeah,
in the top
I really
three.
Didn't. She was top that three. Was really cool. I liked that a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, just the factoid that Nina can drink like 15 espresso a day.
Ooh.
That was terrifying. I was like, woman, your blood pressure.
At that point, right?
She's like, I love coffee. I can drink 15 espressos in a day all by myself. And I was like, do you normally have a helper?
I can drink 30 on a team.
Of 30 people.
Yeah. 15 espressos in a day is troublesome, right? I'm not
That's
the only
really
one.
That's scary.
She may have been exaggerating.
I can't do anything 15 times in a day. So that's impressive in and of itself.
I don't know. I could eat 15 Skittles in a day.
Okay, but like that's not...
Well, I don't like Skittles, enough. So it's actually kind of impressive.
Okay, one at a time. Like, okay, come on, Alex, you can do this. 13 Skittles to go.
All right, let's get into the Elimination Challenge. Tanya, why don't you...
Oh, Shirley won the quick fire. She can
Shirley
buy
won the
air
quick
conditioning
fire.
For her house.
Yeah.
Yay!
Vegas hilarious. Is hot.
Yeah, they did the funny... They asked the interviewers, or the interviewees, like, what are you guys would you do with the $10,000? And Shirley had the most boring practical answer and then won and got to do some good home repair when she gets back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was awesome.
But she does live in Vegas, so an air conditioner is a non-trivial item.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that seems like it needs to work and work well.
Tanya, why don't you tell us about the Elimination Challenge today? I think
this
is a really good one.
So they introduce their special guest, which in this case is actor Anthony Mackie, who I have to say I didn't see 8 Mile, so I didn't...
He was also in The Hurt Locker, which you haven't seen.
Yep, ditto, yeah. So there was a lot of me not recognizing Anthony Mackie, which is fine, neither here nor there. Anyway, but they interviewed him about what he likes to eat when he comes home to NOLA, and he... gave an answer that I have already forgotten. And then they basically explained that the challenge this time... What's that?
I'm guessing cheese.
It probably was cheese.
Yeah, I think it was probably cheese with cheese sauce.
Didn't he like to go to the restaurant that they had the challenge at, right?
Oh, Dookie Chase.
Oh, Dookie
yeah.
Chase.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
That's what it was.
So then the theme is to cook something that you look forward to having when you either like you go home to your like family home, or in this case, since a lot of these people are grown-ups with children and spouses and whatnot, you go home to your other new home. Grown-up home? I don't know what we're calling that.
I think you call it a grown-up home. I think that's part of being a
grown-up home.
I love that Chris is like, why are you spiraling out so soon? I don't need your disdain right now, okay?
Okay.
Podcast life, Chris. That's just how it goes.
So they have a couple of hours to cook in the kitchen after they go to Whole Foods. And then they go to Dookie Chase to prepare the rest of to prepare for an hour before the service the next day.
Later.
And they're serving Leah Chase, the founder of Dookie Chase, or one of the leaders of Dookie Chase. Because she started out as a waitress, we learned later. Anyway, and her family. And obviously, Mr. Mackie and the judges. So, that was the general gist of the challenge. So everybody did variations on things that they loved from home. Nicholas ended up winning with a dish that he prepared for his daughter that's her favorite, which is nudie, which was based on her love of bath time. Which I thought was adorable. just
called gnocchi, but she can't say gnocchi.
Yeah.
So she calls it nudie.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I thought it was, but there's
I've heard this before.
Called nudie. I thought it was nudie.
No. He said they called it nudie because she that's what she says for bath time, and so they call ricotta gnocchi nudie. But
I misunderstood.
He didn't seem like it's that was traditional. Pasta.
It's totally a thing. It's a type of gnocchi with ricotta.
That's why I got confused.
Yeah, he did introduce it to the judges as nudie, and they would have been really confused.
Oh, okay.
They would have
A naming foul. I'm surprised Tom didn't Hulk out.
Yeah, Tom is like, you know, this tastes mostly like gnocchi, but I was expecting a child's wee-wee to be washed. I don't think that's
No, there's really a nudie. It's
yeah, I think, no, I'm saying, I'm agreeing with you. That was my point there.
Someone else will take over. Clearly, I can't do this.
Well,
today.
So, you're doing great. I thought that was a great summary. This seemed to me... like a classic cook your food challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they've been giving us more like and more challenge. Of those. Yeah.
Yeah. This was like, near the end where they say like, tell us where you've been. I mean, this was like no restrictions, bunch
yeah,
of
money. they bring your mom there and then like, you know, everyone does well, but then like you cry also.
There
like,
was a lot. Yeah. Nicholas's gnocchi had a side of tears.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of heart.
A lot of heart. That sounds like the horror challenge, too. It's a little weird to say it that way. But yeah, everyone was crying, and everybody cooked amazing. Everything was so Almost. Good.
Mm-hmm. With the exception of good old Trav.
Well, Trav's food, food was delicious, but just a little soggy in the biscuit.
Yeah, he was just the worst.
We've all been there.
raw biscuit has to be a euphemism for something, but I don't want anyone to tell me what it is.
Nope. I will remain silent.
Travis had some butter issues, and basically his butter was too warm, so his biscuits were too soggy in the middle, and that ended up sending him home.
Notably also on the bottom was Justin, who made...
Three in a row.
Three in a row.
Not happy about being on the bottom still.
Yeah. Hat trick meat. For Justin.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
Is that a shoe trick? What's it like when you three times in a row on the bottom?
Yeah. Hat trick. Yeah, shoe trick. I don't know.
I call that a raw biscuit.
Ooh. Yeah, that's what that means. Slugging the biscuit. He, and still does not believe he should be in the bottom. He's not as upset this time. It seems like his epic collapse may be, like, plateauing, but not looking good for Jason.
He's bottoming out in every direction. He's like,
giving up a little.
He's bottoming out in his ability to bottom out.
Yes. You can't even bottom out better than this.
Also,
his bottom bottomed out.
Justin was cooking chicken, but acted as if he was cooking a squirrel. He said this was like a dish that he made as a kid with squirrel that he used to hunt, but now it's actually chicken.
I love the juxtaposition they had. Like, they talked about, oh, yeah, you know, your connection to this dish. And he's like, yeah, you know, I used to go out hunting with my dad, and I think squirrel is actually a really good meat to eat in this, and I used to hunt squirrel. And then the next cut is to Carrie from the northwest of the United States, who says, yeah, we used to hunt asparagus. Which seems a lot less rugged.
I thought that sounded so fun. Like, the idea of, like, driving around and, like, looking for asparagus.
Yeah.
The most adorable.
This was a good like hunter-gatherer episode too, then, because Stephanie was talking about how her and her boyfriend eat poison mussels from the sea.
I know, I like the detail that like they probably should not be eating those mussels.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about everybody cooking well and going home for soggy biscuits? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, I like Travis a lot, but as soon as he said he felt like he found a home here with the other chefs and got to be himself, I was like,
"Oh, camp is not what this is."
Yeah, Travis is not going
to
stick
he
around.
He shouldn't have come there to make friends.
Yeah, that's
his own fault for that.
That's what sent him in.
Yeah, he should have been there. Yeah, not to make friends. Also, rounding out the bottom three was Brian, whose dish was not memorable.
It was not memorable, and it was also notably not cooked over charcoal, which was not at the kitchen.
Right. Yeah.
So, no contingency plan.
Brian did a terrible job designing that kitchen.
Did you guys feel bad about that? Like, he chose to do a charcoal barbecued thing, and then was, when they didn't have one, had no backup plan for that.
Yeah, can you expect any kitchen you go to have a charcoal grill?
I wouldn't count on anything.
No.
Yeah.
And on Top Chef, there's always like a 50% chance you'll end up cooking on a beach. So,
they knew they were going to Dookie Chase, right?
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Well,
but Dookie Chase, home of the charcoal grill.
Yeah. Sponsored
also,
by like Grill Master.
Top Chef, they might have said, we're going to Dookie Chase, and then you stop by the side of the road and have to cook in a waterfall. They do this happens all the time.
Yeah.
Do you
We're going
not
to
watch
Dookie Chase
show?
Where you're gonna cook on the roof.
Yeah, exactly. You're at Dookie Chase in the parking lot. You have no idea. You might be cooking in microwaves. It did seem a little weird that he was just so confident there would be charcoal there.
Don't you feel like the Dookie Chase is kind of like a kid's like race?
The Dookie Chase?
Yeah.
Race?
Yeah, the Dookie Chase. Oh.
You guys ready for this year's Dookie Chase?
Yeah, exactly, man.
Our chaser car is going to beat your chaser car.
And then they're going to get all muddy and have to go home and get a nudie bath.
Delicious.
What did you guys think about this? Do you think it was that Travis had any chance of sneaking his... Like, once his biscuit was soggy in the middle, did you think he had any chance of getting away with that? Because he said he pulled him open, poured gravy over the middle like he was going to get away with it.
No, I didn't. Yeah, that seemed terrible. Well, and again, like, you can't add wet stuff to a soggy thing and expect people not to notice how soggy it is.
Well, you can be like, hey, it was soggy because of the wet stuff. It's intentional. Right. But it was, like, double soggy, and that was the issue.
Well, soggy's different from raw. The problem was that the biscuit wasn't cooked. So when you can taste uncooked flour, you know.
Yeah, I suppose it's an issue.
Yeah, I think that is it. It was funny to me that he thought he could try, and then, like, it took all of 2 seconds. They were like, hey, this biscuit isn't very well done. It was like CSI biscuit. And
you know, the funny thing is that even the comments on that were like, this was pretty good, and it had this one flaw, but it was still...
Yeah, but the
still
gravy apparently was, like, mad on point. And jam like the was awesome.
Yeah, gravy with jam, like, blew Anthony Mackie's mind. He was like, this is great.
Yeah,
he was one of the first, and what I was saying to myself is, we all know that's an error, and it didn't sneak by the judges, but the way that he described it might be such that if somebody else makes an error and doesn't try to correct, then he might skate by.
Well, yeah, like I think two more people after that was when I wrote in my notes, like, uh-oh, Travis, because everybody else was doing so well. Like, normally you don't go home for delicious food. That's something I've said before, I think, on this show, but, like, you never go home for delicious food, and, like, the only times you do is when everyone else is delicious, and that's rare, but they nailed it this time.
Everybody people were delicious-er.
Food. Yeah.
He needed someone else to ice their dashi, and that just wasn't going to happen this time, unfortunately.
So let me ask you this. I'm curious about this. Was it Travis? Anyway, somebody said that they came on Top Chef not just for me, but for... No, it was Nicholas. Nicholas said it. I came on Top Chef not just for me, but for my family. And that has been a common refrain on this show. And what does that mean? What is your family...
Because you wanted to get away from them. Right?
You wanted them to have a chance to be away from you.
I think it's an egotistical thing to say. Like, what they think they're saying is, it'll make my family happy and proud. But what they're really saying is, I will feel super proud of myself showing off to my family about how accomplished I am. And I'm sure their family is proud and will be proud, but I don't think their family's getting as much out of it as they think they are.
Well, I think there's also just the pragmatic aspect of, like, financial success serves, like, floats that's all boats that are in this house or whatever.
It's kind of like, I don't know, Sarah, I think, like, what you're saying, it's kind of like a lingerie gift to a loved one, where it's kind of, like, for you more than it is for them necessarily. Like, that's kind of... Like, I'm doing this for, but, like, I'm really doing it for myself.
I guess, that was my cynical take on it, was I was sort of expecting that it was for themselves, but I guess that's a fair answer. Like, I guess fame and fortune does help their family in some way, although I've never seen a chef's wife be like, you need to do this for us.
Yeah, you need to go on Top Chef. You know, like, let's be dreamers here. I mean, either is Clan Elmy, you know, suffering in the disrespect back in the homeland, and he needs to do this for his family. Or maybe someone is holding his wife hostage and won't let her go unless he makes the finals.
Yeah, like, can you give
us... Yeah, so it's like, I'm doing this for the family. Wink, 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 send help.
I know where Dana is.
Unless you, like, trot them out in some sort of, like, whatever. I mean, every once in a while they'll have some sort of family... involved challenge, but for the most part we don't hear from the family. They could who knows who's cracking the whip behind the scenes,
right? Like, Travis's 4-year-old is like, daddy, make me proud, daddy.
I also like the idea of, like, I'm doing this for my family because they don't think I can. Gotta show them up.
Mom Shirley did get her family a new air conditioner.
That's true.
That's true.
She did that for her family.
Benefit to her family.
Family can stop sweating balls.
What do you guys think is the bigger sin? Do you think that there was the right person to send home, like soggy biscuit versus not enough gravy for Justin and boring steak?
I thought boring steak was going to go home, but because it's everyone seems so bored. So I don't know.
Yeah,
they liked the thing with the steak though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but they loved the thing with the biscuit too. Like his sausage that he made was good. The jam was good. And he made the jam from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I thought that maybe he was going to be okay, because they really did seem to rave about the gravy and the jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But he made the biggest technical error.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. That and was also in a biscuit town where they definitely care about that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My other favorite thing about...
can you tell me the other biscuit towns you can think of off the top of your head?
Sure.
Can you give me a map of biscuit towns?
Portland.
Yeah. Portland is a real big biscuit town.
Well, it was founded by a biscuit, and so...
Oh, that's... Portland was actually biscuit.
Yeah, it was originally named biscuit town. That was okay. Why. And then they got some more new biscuit. Ports.
I think it's pronounced Biscuiton.
Biscuiton?
Biscuiton.
New Biscuiton?
Yeah.
Old Biscuiton.
And those are the two old world biscuit towns. But then there's also, there's New Biscuiton, which is a splinter colony in Montana. They think they're an independent nation, but they're not.
I feel like they have a lot of guns.
They do, and biscuits.
Okay, mostly the two.
Both those
guns
things.
That shoot biscuits.
Guns that shoot biscuits.
It's funny that you mentioned the New World, because in the Old World, biscuit is actually biscuit, which is in French, which is the town where it was invented.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they eat nothing but biscuits.
And then they had the biscuit, some people left for religious freedom reasons and founded Bisquick. Also,
and the people who didn't make it all the way there, they were a bit slow.
Very fierce soccer rivalry.
They were running away, but they got biscotti. All right, I'm so sorry.
Oh, man, this is really going
places. I'll just go.
The people that ate that went to the Dakotas in the Bismouth.
Oh, right. Bismuth. Isn't that
an
element?
That's a place.
No, yeah. It's Bismuth.
Anyway,
Bismarck.
I mean business.
Bismarck would have been the best answer for what's in the biscuit. All right, guys.
Staining their biscuits with jam, and that founded Bismarck.
All right, we should move on for the last remaining listener who hung out through the whole biscuit segment.
Oh man, the good times, guys! Right?
Everybody loves riding that biscuit train.
And Chris has left the room.
He's getting the charger for the.
I think you don't ride a biscuit train. I think you ride a gravy train.
Oh, you're right.
To Biscuit Town.
Oh, yeah.
Classic biscuit etiquette. Biscuit etiquette.
You could also found a biscuit town across the ocean if you came in a gravy boat. I'm so sorry, guys.
We should have never set this whole thing in motion.
Yeah, really. I blame
Ezra. I had something else I wanted to say, which was I just wanted to do a quick side-by-side judge-wise, guest judge-wise, with Leah Michele versus Mr. Mackey, because I felt like Mr. Mackey was as involved as Leah Michele, but like brought so much more to his...
If you call him Mr. Mackey, it sounds like South Park.
Okay.
Anthony Mackey.
Okay. Anthony Mackey.
Thank you.
Especially his quote about Nicholas's.
Oh, it was great.
So adorable.
I want to be his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Also, and he's just kicking it with Hubert Keller. I like the idea of like them having their own spinoff show. I think there'd be a lot of
Hubert Keller and Anthony Mackie eat things. With Hubert Keller. Although I do like if he was like good cop, bad cop with Anthony Mackie. Where he was like, Anthony Mackie was going to take it in a new direction, and Hubert Keller was like, telling him to play by the book.
Yeah. Or like, chef cop, actor cop.
Or if it was good chef, bad chef, where Anthony Mackie is trying to taste his food with his finger, and Hubert is like, no, we're tasting this by the book. Get a spoon.
Yeah. the spoon code.
I could have your badge for this.
Mackie's like, what if we acted like we had a spoon?
Go ahead, Megan.
Oh, I did think it was really funny that he told Nicholas to chill out, that he was, like, way too stressed out. And I'm like, come on, you just sat there and ate dinner, and Nicholas is, like, in the middle of this really intense cooking challenge.
Yeah.
But Nicholas I think every other chef has identified him as being crazy nervous, and didn't he also profess that he's had, like, 4 ulcers? Like, by the time he was, like, 21, he's like, I am... Everybody's ulcers.
I trust Anthony Mackie's insight into the psyche of Nicholas.
The mind of a chef.
Yeah, well, he's his daughter, so he knows.
It's true. That's a good point.
It's genetically related. Wow. What do you guys think of Travis's exit line? I wanted to talk about the when you leave the stew room, when you come in and announce that you've left, like what the etiquette is there. Travis had this great like sign off where it was like, have some fun, all right? And then left like... Well, it was sort of like a party on, Garth, kind of like. By I like the idea. Party. It was a good.
I like the idea that like maybe you just you miss the concept. You like you show them that you miss the concept entirely. He's like, well, see you guys tomorrow.
What?
That'd be amazing.
Best 2 out of 3, right? All right. Yeah.
There's some part of me that my exits that are my favorite are the exits that are my favorite are the ones where they like they're like saying goodbye to everyone and there's hugs all around and then they take like 2 or 3 people aside and they're like kill everyone else for me and like that's always my favorite and they're like you have to win this for like for the blood oath or whatever like it's always there's always something really magical about
have
that.
We talked have we talked about the thing where somebody walks in and they're like they say like oh it's me. And then somebody inevitably yells, "What? No!"
Yeah. I didn't think. It's even one worse when no chance. One yells that.
Yeah, like they sound so surprised. And also, the other person who didn't go home is right there. So by saying no, you're implying no, it should have been that person.
Yeah.
But it's usually there's 2 other people, so they're not directly.
Who knows which one they think should have gone home? The other thing that I like is like how broken up Padma is about it, which is like, I'm sorry, but. For some reason, we have to send you home. It's like, well, you don't have to. It's your rules. I mean, you can keep everyone there. It could be 12 chefs cook for 12 weeks and no one goes home if you wanted to.
And at the end, they just all split $10,000.
Yeah, exactly. Who's making this? Yeah.
Yeah. I think the producers might intervene at some point.
Yeah.
Instead of Top Chef, it's just called Equal Chefs.
Egalitarian chef, middle chef.
Although she does seem like it's a lot harder for her when the food was really good that day,
or when she liked the person. Like when someone is a dick, Padma will have no problem. Be like, pack your knives and go.
Michael, done. Cut.
Yeah,
get out.
Yeah. You're way done. I think we talked about this like right at the beginning too. Is where Tom says like, but sadly. We have to send one of you home. Like, no, that's structurally important to the show.
Yeah.
Way more. There's too many chefs on Chris's TV. Get rid of somebody. Well, let's get it. I think that's it. Let's move on to Last Chance Kitchen now. So Last Chance Kitchen, we saw after Travis sadly went home for Soggy Biscuit. He had to go fight it out with the reigning champ of Last Chance Kitchen, Lewis. How about Chris? Tell us what happened. What was the challenge for Last Chance to be on TV?
Well, the challenge for Last Chance to be on TV was tailored to Travis because he professes to be Mr. Captain Vietnam and know all these exotic ingredients. So the challenge was just you have to use 3 of these exotic ingredients. And there were things like tripe and I guess squid and Chinese sausage and some other stuff in there. And just... create a dish, and you have 45 minutes. Oh, and you also get to go to Whole Foods for 15 minutes.
Is the specialty market.
Or, no, the Chinese market.
Yeah, right.
You get 15 minutes at the Chinese market. And Lewis spent, like, $5. It was awesome.
Yeah, he bought $5 of ingredients.
Yeah, so you hop in the Corolla.
Yeah, and then and marvel at the GPS.
Yeah, and otherwise, it was pretty straightforward. Like,
the odometer is really readable in this Toyota. yeah, great, and then you're there.
Yeah. Anyway.
How much money did they have?
Infinite, I think.
Oh, really?
I think they just had 15 minutes. They were only by time.
Oh, they didn't mention the.
But time is money, so.
Oh, that's true. I would just love for Lewis to be like, they gave us $50 and he spends 5 and pockets $45 and walks out.
I'm not last chance to get some money.
We'll take this one. Got it.
Yeah.
Just and, buying some magazines. Job. Yeah, so they just cooked with weird things and did some Asian food. So this started out with Tom, as usual, telling Travis that he's a terrible person and a terrible chef and pointing out all of his flaws in a really brutal
fashion.
Pointing
out his socks.
Yeah, and making his socks. How long until Tom gets punched in Last Chance Kitchen? That's what I want to know.
He's getting more and more, like, pointedly.
Actually, here's the thing. Tom totally boxes.
Does he really?
Yeah. So he might have seen this coming and prepared for it.
I think he started boxing. He's like, oh, well, now I can just insult people.
Yeah, if you can back it up, anyone? You're fine.
Anyone? He's also adorable in how proud he seems of the person wearing the jacket. Megan was pointing this out. He's always just so happy for whoever has won, even though, like, 2 days ago, he was telling you what a jackass you are.
Yeah, it's true. He's always asking the new contestant, he's like, so do you want to see who it is? Like, he's really excited, and he's like, okay, and he just sort of, like, looks over at the person coming in and is just beaming.
Proud Papa, yeah. Yeah, he does. He beamed at Lewis when Lewis walks out. Papa and then Tom. He's like, so Travis, you claim to be the most Asian person who's ever lived. Well, you have cooked some shitty-ass food. Let's see some tripe. That's like, he's brutal on Last Chance Kitchen.
Yeah.
I feel like they've also started adding in, like, instead of just, like, the episode, like, clips from the episode where they went home, now there's, like, this, like, horrifying, like, anti-sizzle reel of, like, all of the mistakes that they made over the course of their time on the show, which what is seems,
Tanya,
like, overkill.
Tanya, what's anti-sizzle?
Fizzle reel. Fizzle reel. Fizzle reel.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
Fizzle reel. I was going to say the opposite like of sizzle reel. Is steak, right?
Oh, yeah, like, all steak, no sizzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a raw steak, I guess.
Fizzle reel is much better. Yeah, they show the fizzle reel of all of the things you've screwed up, all the embarrassing things you said during interviews. And then they make you cook tripe.
Yeah, but Travis dates Vietnamese boys, and Lewis is married to a Korean
just
woman.
Just one.
And so
Lewis
has
is winning.
Stealth skills everywhere.
Let's also be clear that those aren't the same place.
nor are these skills sexually transmitted.
Yeah. Also very important.
Yeah.
Although
oh my God, can we have, in the future, can we invent sexually transmitted skills?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of...
Let's just re-engineer syphilis so it also gives you the ability to, like, I don't know, hammer a nail or something.
And be a concert pianist.
Yes, why not?
Yeah. Well, so what do you guys think about the Asian food challenge? Was that?
I mean, I like that every like Last Chance Kitchen is sort of like, I feel like Tom is kind of like Satan, where he's just like revisiting people's like sins. He's like, let me devise something even more devious.
Yeah.
And we did get to see. I always love it when somebody fumbles with a pressure cooker on this show.
That's one of those things. When they started messing with the pressure cooker, I was like, oh, we should have asked. Why are the pressure cookers always like a crazy like mind fuck for every contestant?
I think that's something. If you were getting on this show, as soon as you apply for this show, the first thing you should do is teach yourself to use a pressure cooker, because it happens every year, and every time somebody picks up a pressure cooker and goes, I'm not sure how to use this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as they mention that they need to use one, I get nervous.
Yeah,
like,
me
this
too.
This is how bad it is at this point.
But Lewis pulled off the tripe pretty well.
Yeah.
He did. He pressure cooked some tripe.
And there was someone in the challenge, too, that used... Oh, was it Carlos?
It was Brian. It was Brian for the... I thought...
because Brian
I think it was Carlos for his...
Dish.
He used a pressure cooker, and he was...
On the pork shanks. Yeah, pressure cooked. That's the one.
Yeah, he shanked them.
Yeah, and that did work. Yeah, it's not as bad. Although I'm always just expecting someone to just explode some pork shank, because pressure cookers they blow up.
That's my life, Alex.
Just walk through and wonder if anybody's gonna explode a pork shank today.
Is it like a whiteboard on which it says like days since exploded pork shank?
So Lewis pulls it off again for being slightly more flavorful, leaving us with. I think, what do we have? One more Brian, right? And that's it? And then we get into some real meaty chefs for Lewis to take on?
Well, I mean, Brian might luck his way out of an elimination. We might see somebody go home before him.
Yeah.
He could.
We're going to be pretty mad about that,
guys. I think that's that time. Yeah, I would be mad too. But it's time to speculate. Who else? Is anybody else cooking near the bottom? I expect Justin to be in the bottom again and still not lose. That's my expectation.
Just like bottom every... I want to be in the bottom of every single elimination, but win it.
Here's the thing about this show. If you are in second from the bottom every time, you win the show.
Yep.
That's how the show works. You never have to be
in the top. Except for the last time.
No,
because... Because well, there's one other person.
It depends on how many people are in the finale. Sometimes there's three in the finale.
Okay. But you might get second.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we didn't, speaking of Justin, I just remembered the part where they come back from their initial, like, 2 hours of prep, and Emeril is, like, up in their house cooking them dinner.
Oh, yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah. And then we actually had a rare moment of, like, Justin being just genuinely funny, and everyone seeming like they don't hate him, which was kind of nice. Like, I was like, oh, remember when we thought Justin was nice?
Yeah.
I think socially, he's probably nice.
Yeah.
This is my new favorite segment, Emeril's Home Invasion, where... You just come home and Emeril has jimmied the lock and made you donuts or something. That's really a fun. That's a fun way to go.
I thought you could use this. Hi, guys.
Side note, with Justin being just really likable, can we have a spinoff where it's just called Top Friends, where everyone's just like, hey, I came here to make friends?
But I didn't come here to win, I came here to make friends.
Yeah.
I think of it as like Camp Top Chef, which actually I have to say, like, when Travis got, like, eliminated from Last Chance Kitchen as well, I was like, this is officially his favorite thing. He can just go sit in a corner with all the other chefs and, like, be friends.
Time. Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
Now. Yeah, that's nice.
And it's maybe... that's one of the Last Chance Kitchen things now, is, like, you never leave. Everybody is on Top Chef the whole season now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you become, like, the Greek chorus.
Which is great, except in Michael's case.
Yeah, the Greek Michael.
Except that I wish Michael would stop talking to everyone.
At least he was asking Sarah questions as opposed to telling her how to cook things. But
yeah, and he was like, "Oh, you make a good point about that preparation." Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Seemed like he listened for a second. I don't know. Maybe he was, even though it didn't seem like it. Maybe he was a little bit humbled by getting eliminated.
Yeah. Did you see that Jason was wearing a creepy arm garter?
What?
No. No.
He's wearing a bow tie and like a bartender's like arm gaiter thing.
Oh, interesting.
Is that for tips?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do they do all day?
Drink.
Why do you say that with such confidence? Do you know that to be true?
I've read that in an interview.
I know they drink a lot around the show when they're filming, but if you're not on the show anymore, my guess is the staff gives you less beer, but...
Or more
beer.
Well, that's why Lewis...
In junior varsity house, right?
Yeah, and Lewis got $45 to buy, so...
He's treating everybody to a round of drinks tonight.
All on Lewis.
All right, so last thing I want to do before we go, I want to do just a quick bit of listener mail. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up on the comments on our website, but for some of you who haven't, I'll talk about it anyway. I just want to send a shout-out today to, I'm going to call his handle Jamfree, but he had some thoroughly awesome comments about last week's episode, and... I really wanted to thank him, especially for teaching us about Top Chef Spain, which apparently is not good.
Oh,
shocker.
So we talked about Top Chef Spain a few episodes ago, where we'd all watched the beginning of one episode. Ez and Sarah, you watched more than the rest of us. But Jamfree is from Spain, and he said it's just... they bought the name, so it's not affiliated with the production company. And also, some other things he said... the duration is really a problem. In Spain, according to him, prime time is absurdly long. Their shows are at least an hour long or more. And so when they import something, they just cram two of them together in a row. But here they just film really long episodes. And instead of showing us more of the kitchen, it's all filled with other debates and crap. So it's a lot more fighting and the same amount of cooking.
That's a mistake.
Also, funny,
they spend 2 hours just making tiny plates of food.
Well, in our experience, they just show the same dish for, like, they show, like, the one shot of the dish that you see in our Top Chef for, like, one or two frames. They show that, like, 15 times, and each frame, like, stays on the dish for a good 20 seconds.
Huh.
So you just keep seeing the same photograph of the same ugly dish.
That's interesting. He also said that they have, that the head judge, like, the Tom figure, is also the Padma of the show.
And you guys got a really weird mental image right now.
Tom showing a lot of cleavage.
Still a little bit attracted to it. Also, apparently that guy is like the Gordon Ramsay of Spain. So he does a Kitchen Nightmare style show where he like trashes people. So he's Padma Tom, and he's a jerk. And that is the anchor of Top Chef España. So,
well, if you have only that one chef, you might as well get him to do it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like.
I guess.
If you get a Padma Tom, you use the Padma Tom.
Padma Tom Gordon.
If
If you guys are going to watch a Spanish show, you should watch Isabel. It's a great show.
What is Isabel about?
It's like kind of like Game of Thrones, but in Spain and historical.
It's awesome.
Spain of Thrones?
That sounds delightful.
Spain of Thrones.
Does it contain historical dragons?
Is that your favorite part of Game of Thrones?
Figurative dragons.
Yeah.
The dragons in your soul.
Mm.
Ooh.
Interesting. Weird.
Sounds dangerous.
Dragons de Alma.
Anyone still a little bit turned on by them? All right.
There's boobs.
Any last thoughts before we go today, you guys?
Justin's going down next week. I feel like I'm keep on betting on Justin going
down.
You're
taking Justin over Brian.
Why not? We haven't any really upsets yet, I feel like, so.
Yeah, I think we're getting closer to one. I mean, after Brian goes home, I feel like it's anybody's. I mean, it's at that point, like, everybody's very good, and whoever goes home is going to be sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then do we think that Lewis will just keep on keeping, like, do we think Lewis has the best shot at coming on back in?
No. I think Lewis has the best shot until after Brian, and then the next Last Chance Kitchen is going to be, like, 50-50.
Really weird.
He might be able to beat Nick, depending on the challenge, I think.
I don't know. But
Nick has been peaking. Nick's been doing great.
Yeah, he's doing great now.
And he has a lot of French background, but it just depends. He's been a little bit...
This is really hard, but who do you say goes home? So, after Brian, as I was saying, Justin, but, like, after that, we get into, like, Stephanie and Carrie.
I think Carrie's vulnerable.
Yeah.
I feel like she's uneven sometimes. Still really like it. Like, I just like
when she's not cooking dessert.
Well, no, she's had some savory successes too.
Yeah,
but yeah, like, I feel like there's still sort of a like factor with Carrie that like I don't worry about some of the other chefs the way I worry about her.
I mean, so who's the finale? Nina Shirley.
I like it, Nina Shirley. Yeah, and then you get
wild card.
Yeah,
yeah. I could see it being Nina Shirley Nick. Like the way it's happening right now.
At this point, yeah.
Although Carrie's dish this week with the asparagus and the egg impressed the heck out of me.
And
showed a lot of restraint and, you know, just like beautiful composition. And if she keeps cooking like that.
I mean, I would eat a poached egg on anything. I think that's a pretty solid strategy.
You don't think it's overdone?
It might be, but I'm still
this food fad.
I eat a lot of
food.
As long
as the poached egg isn't overdone, I think it's fine.
On that note,
that's a good point.
It becomes over easy.
Then we would just kick it out straight to Biscuiton. We'd be done with it.
I was going to say, are we going back to Biscuiton?
Give us a map of Biscuiton.
All right, I think that's probably a good place to wrap up then. Let us know what you guys think for next week if you want. Well, I'd love to get some more comments worked in here on the air to talk about. If you have any opinions on who the finale is right now, I would love to hear that speculation. Also, let us know what your comfort food is at home and whether or not it has cheese in it, because it probably does. Also,
when was the last time you went to Biscuiton?
Let us know your favorite biscuit puns. Also, I'm sorry. We have a very special guest. A special bonus segment coming up this week, actually, which is very cool. And can I just say it? Can we tell you?
Yeah,
we'll say. So coming out just in a couple days on the podcast feed, so stay where you are, stay tuned. I did a brief interview with the executive producer of Top Chef and the former executive producer of Top Chef, so the one from this season and the one from seasons 4
one through
10. What, Chris?
One.
Not one. One. She was not on season one. I believe it was maybe 2 through 10. Anyway, so that's coming up. And they let me talk to them about all kinds of things. And it was very surprising and excellent. And I think you will thoroughly enjoy it. There's some good revelations there. So join me this week for my discussion with Nan Strait and Hillary Olson of Magical Elves, the executive producers. It's great. There's some great revelations. We'll talk about where the knife block was, what they think about pea puree, talk about the controversy over the TV in the stew room. That kind of thing. It was really cool. So I hope you guys enjoy that. Stick around for that coming up in a few days. And we'll be back in next week to talk about episode 11. Follow us on Twitter at PackYourMics, Facebook.com/PackYourMics. Go to PackYourMics.com for to give us feedback. Also, if you go to PackYourMics.com/Amazon when you're buying stuff, especially like holiday presents, it's that time, Christmas presents, Hanukkah presents. Is that too late?
Yeah, it's done.
Done. What is the
Kwanzaa presents
after Hanukkah belated sales?
Buying birthday presents for the next 4% of the population.
any of those things, if you're going to go through Amazon anyway, help you can help us pay for this show by going to packyourmics.com/Amazon, and we get a percentage of the sales.
Yeah.
And thank you for being here, Ez and Sarah.
Sure thing.
It was really delightful. And Chris and Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks.
In Brooklyn and in the Portland studios. Megan, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Alex.
Excellent work, everybody. Chris, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're just soggy in the middle.
What?
Yeah.
Pack well, it's been fun. Bye, guys.
Party on, guard.
Go back to New Biscuiton.
All right, that's it. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.